ușa-n să mă mure, ca să ia vezore, ca să mă scupă mie.
Well, I say you're fine, I say you're nice.
Yo, what is up, y'all? Welcome to another motherfucking episode of Kill the Mockingbirds. I'm your host, Sean Chris. Today, I'm just going to be just me riding solo. I thought I could dig up some news. What's up, man? I thought I could dig up some news and, you know, poke at some propaganda and see what we think. I got a lot of shit lined up. I know a lot's going on. I know right now I think the whole abortion got blocked by the Republicans. That's a whole nother issue. But like I said, I got everything all set up. What do I got? Let's start it off with a little bit on CBS Morning News with anchor Anna Marie Green. P&E record profits during all this inflation time. Like all this inflation and the high gas prices, and these energy companies are really making out like bandits.
P&E has gained major revenue and profits after charging customers more on their monthly bills. The utility gained $475 million in profits from the first quarter. It was also able to book a $1 million benefit from wildfire claims. But customers are also paying for this increase as well. The average monthly payment is now 14% higher than this time last year, with more increases expected in the future.
So during all this inflation, it's good to know that these energy companies are raking in the dough. I think it was BP also had some record, a record-breaking quarter like in the last 10 years. Like it's something that obviously they're taking advantage of the moment, right? They say their famous quote of, you know, never let a crisis go to waste. I don't know if anybody had saw the fight. I mean, I watched some fights. I was watching the Canelo fight and I was watching the UFC fights. And it got me a little bit kind of going on to this level of veganism, because Canelo, who lost, even though he lost because he went up weight, he was on a vegan diet. And you could see that he was really tired towards the end of everything that was going on. So I got a couple clips about veganism and like kind of like another spin on it. And these are, like I said, these are actual news quotes. This is ABC Good Morning America with Dr. Jen Ashton. And they're talking about kids with vegan diets and the benefits and the takeaways.
You guys, we're going to turn now to a new study on children and a vegetarian diet, looking at whether such a diet could have an adverse impact on a child's health. Our chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton, is here now with the results. Good morning to you.
Good morning,
always,
sir.
Doc, and tell us about this study.
Yeah, you know, I found this interesting because there are a small but growing number of kids in this country who follow a vegan or vegetarian diet. So researchers in Toronto surveyed the parents, then did some tests on the kids, and found that there was no significant difference in terms of blood tests, in terms of bone density, in terms of growth for children who followed a vegetarian or vegan diet. So good news from that standpoint. It did not appear to be harmful.
But they did find that the study did find that children on a plant-based diet, they had similar growth and nutrition compared to those who ate meat.
That's right. But they did find that children who were vegan, vegetarian, more likely to be slightly underweight. You've heard me say it before, as a nutritionist and a doctor, being significantly underweight can be as bad as being significantly overweight. But as long as it doesn't impact a child's growth curve, that's really what you care about. So, you know, it's something that was significant with this finding, but not found to be or thought to be dangerous.
Yeah, that's what I thought was interesting about this little clip, is that they did kind of admit that veganism is not great for the diet, because a lot of kids are malnutritioned and they're not really living up to that. I saw somebody was posting that I watch too much mainstream media, but I kind of watch all the media. And to me, the purpose of watching mainstream media is deciphering what they're talking about. If we're not paying attention to what they're saying, to the agendas they're rolling out, to be able to break things down, that's what we're trying to do. You know, like I'm trying to break down what they really mean. What are these stories about? Why are they adding them into our day-to-day psyche so that we can kind of, you know, it gets into our brain, and then people push that narrative, especially if we're going to have conversations with other people and change people's mind. We really, really gotta understand what their talking points are, their buzzwords, everything they're using. You know what I mean? I get what people are saying, and I tell people all the time, like, you know, it's not easy. Like, I know the mainstream media can be, trust me, I go through all kinds of clips. It's not the best, like, going through it. That's why I try to go through it, and like other podcasters go through it, so that, you know, everybody has to, you know what I mean? This one's another one. It's a vegan brain development stalled by low B12 levels. So they kind of start talking about how the a lot of vegans are not getting the proper B12 levels. And in this little clip, they're talking about the importance of B12 and what it's meant to do. So I think this is something that maybe this is why the soy boys, you know, a lot of the comments that people make, this could be some of the things that they're deficient on. They're talking about, you know, vitamin D deficiency, vitamin A deficiency. Now they're starting to really get about this B12 level of children. And a lot of it seems to be low on vegan children.
B12 is critical for a child's development, and restrictive diets may be hindering B12 levels. B12 deficiency is common in developing nations, but researchers from the University of Copenhagen say they're also cropping up in young children raised on vegan diets. They're showing signs of poor motor development. If B12 levels are too low, it can damage a child's nervous system, alter brain development, and lead to anemia. For years, health experts have focused on vitamin A, zinc, and iron deficiency. Now they say the focus is changing to B12 in an effort to avoid malnutrition and resulting permanent health challenges.
And I think, like, I don't advocate for don't do a vegan diet, don't do this. But I think that you really got to not jump into something, especially with children. They're still developing. You really got to have a balanced diet for them. I think, like, you know, have a healthy amount of greens and vegetables, but have meat too. And you have different types of meat, and just make sure it's not processed, especially a lot of these vegan menus are processed food. You know, like, toil food is like one of the most disgusting things, in my opinion, like just how it's made and everything. These are options, like even with those burgers they have, those Impossible Burgers. Those Impossible Burgers are, I think, what was it, that canola oil and that seed oil? All that seed oil is like terrible for you. So I think people should be aware of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Because that way we won't get as sick. Hey, good looking out. Yeah, I couldn't tell how my levels were. Now, you know, that was just, like I said, I was only interested in that because of, like, what happened with the fight and what's it called? Seeing that he had a vegan diet and that he was, that's probably not the only reason he was tired out, but it just seemed like, you know, like something that we should touch on, you know? Yeah, it's all made in laboratories, just like the meat that they want, you know, that bug meat they want coming in, the synthetic meat. That can't be good, right? Like, they can't possibly think that an Impossible Burger is better. It's actually worse for you than an actual Whopper. Like, it would be better for you to eat that because they're both saturated in that grease. But that, what is that? That it's different seed oil. I don't know if it's the canola oil, but it's like some kind of seed oil. I think I can't think of it off the top of my head. And that seed oil is just really detrimental. I'll get a little bit more on that because I didn't get too many clips on seed oil and all that. But so going off the dome, I might not have all the information. But I want to change gears real quick to, you know, got one of my followers, Ryan. He shot me this probably like a couple weeks ago. And, you know, I had seen this story, but I hadn't been able to touch it. You know, I was in the penalty box for a little bit on IG, so I was just kind of doing Zooms and stuff. And I thought we should talk about it. It's the United Nations announces Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum and UN's Secretary Antonio Guterres have signed an agreement to accelerate Agenda 2030. Here's the clip.
This afternoon, the Secretary General and Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum, will witness the signing of a memorandum of understanding on a strategic partnership between the UN and the World Economic Forum, which outlines areas of cooperation to deepen engagement between the two institutions and to jointly accelerate the implementation of the 2030 agenda.
So they're pushing that forward. And when we've all said, you know, that the World Economic Forum works with the UN, these clips are important, too, to show people, like, they say this stuff. And I think the more we can dig up things they've said, things that they've said in the past and when they change, you know, like, look at plenty of people have dug up like Biden's stance on abortion and how that changed. So to see that what's actually going on with everybody, I think it's always important. Because the players behind the scenes, like the Klaus Schwab, it's proof, right? Because there's a lot of people that think everything we say is conspiratorial. Like, it may be, because conspiracy doesn't mean that it's fake or that it's just a theory. If it's conspiratorial, it means that there's someone's conspiring, right? Like, and when people hear that word now, they just think of, you know, it's a conspiracy theorist. Like, they're theorizing some kind of thing that off of no information. And I'm like, when we show them the information, I think that really combats as well. I mean, as best as we can, because a lot of these people, they still might not listen to us, but we're going to get more and more of those people, because now they're starting to see like, oh, wow, I can't deny that. That's actual proof. Showing them proof and ways to fight back is important, because I think the agenda with the UN, a lot of people are brainwashed to thinking or under this impression like the UN is some great thing for the world. And I totally disagree on that. I think that they're nothing but the blue helmets that are trying to take over everything, the centralization of power, the main thing, and the army for the globalists. That's just my opinion. That's the way I see it. But it is what it is, right? I got another story to kind of jump into a little bit of the, what's it called, environmental stuff, like the whole Green New Deal and everything that's going with the climate change. Attorney General announces creation of Office of Environmental Justice.
I'm pleased to announce that we are launching the Justice Department's first ever Office of Environmental Justice to oversee and help guide the Justice Department's wide-ranging environmental justice efforts. Like all parts of government, it will get its own acronym, OEJ. And third, the Justice Department is issuing an interim final rule that will restore the use of an important law enforcement tool, supplemental environmental projects, subject to new guidelines and limitations that I will also be issuing today. Administrator Regan and I know that the communities most impacted by environmental harm are not isolated in any one part of our country. Environmental crime and injustice touch communities in all our cities, towns, rural areas, and on tribal lands. Although violations of our environmental laws can happen anywhere, communities of color, indigenous communities, and low-income communities often bear the brunt of the harm caused by environmental crime, pollution, and climate change. They include communities, fence-line communities, where exposure to toxic air pollutants have caused scores of cancer-related deaths. They include communities where students have been exposed to harmful emissions from boilers in their public schools. They include communities where infectious diseases have spread because of inadequate wastewater management. And for far too long, these communities have faced barriers to accessing the justice they deserve. In partnership with EPA, our new OEJ will serve as the central hub for our efforts to advance our comprehensive environmental justice enforcement strategy. In our environmental efforts, we will prioritize the cases that will have the greatest impact on the communities most overburdened by environmental harm. And together with our Civil Rights Division, Office for Access to Justice, Office of Tribal Justice, and United States Attorney's Offices, OEJ will prioritize meaningful and constructive engagement with the communities most affected by environmental crime and injustice.
Listen, you son of a bitch!
It's just another agency, like the clips I kind of put together for this climate change. It kind of reminded me that we're being prepared, right? The whole COVID, everything was kind of like preparation and getting the mind ready for what's coming next. And they're already like, you know, making little by little like the different claims of what's going on around the world, how climate is destroying things and stuff like that. But the funniest, I had posted a link of this earlier, is this face mask for cows wins 50K or 50,000 pounds by Prince Charles Prize. Burping catching mask for gassy cows designed to reduce methane emissions and slow down climate change wins prestigious Prince Charles Prize. The design, a smart harness for cows, converts methane into carbon dioxide and water vapors, which is someone that had brought a point up on the comments earlier. They were like, yeah, well, how are they going to, you know, eat? How are they going to drink water? And I was like, yeah, that's a excellent point. But I had a little clip on it as well, so I wanted to play the clip because it's kind of just foreshadowing, right? The whole mask thing. So with COVID lockdowns, with COVID masking and vaccines, I just really believe the push, what we heard through the news, is going to be like they've been trying to set America and set the world ready for all these new things that will happen under climate change as well, not just COVID. You're going to see people saying, hey, you got to wear, you know, your carbon mask, or you don't, for your control your emissions. And who knows if there's even a vaccine or some kind of medication that they come out, because they have already claimed and diagnosed, have I said months ago on previous episodes, how they've been diagnosing people with climate change. Like, climate change is now the disease. But here's a little clip on the mask, the mask cows.
Prince Charles has backed an initiative to put face masks on cows. The 73-year-old royal, who is a passionate environmentalist, is a supporter of Francisco Norris's startup company Zelp Zero Emissions Livestock Project, which wants to fit methane-catching devices to the creatures in order to reduce emissions of the powerful greenhouse gas, as the animals emit around 95% of their methane from their mouth and nostrils. Zelp have been working with ABP, one of the UK's largest meat producers, to trial the devices to help cut the carbon footprint of British beef. And their test showed a 53% reduction in methane emissions, with the company hoping to reach 60% next year when they launch their commercial rollout. The mask passes the gases released by cows through a catalyst, where they are released into the air as carbon dioxide and water vapor, and they comfortably fit around the animals' heads without impacting their movement or habits.
Fact check false.
Yeah, so I thought that was a funny story, man. It was obviously, it was so stupid that it makes you laugh. But when you think about it, or how I thought about it, was like, man, it just seems like that this is like the first step. Like, when you, if you listen to the news right before 20, you know, the whole COVID pandemic or pandemic, whatever we may call it, there was a bunch of stuff going out there about different virals, viruses and vaccines and the importance of them. And they were talking a lot about Ebola, Ebola and things like that, of that nature. So I just feel like these are these stories that they put in there that, get into your psyche to see the importance of a mask to stop carbon, you know, which is crazy. That's like nuts. Another one from weather.com, climate change could increase cross species disease spread. So they're also tangling the COVID stuff with climate change and saying that climate change will actually like increase the capability of viruses to jump from animals to human.
The world could be dealing with thousands of new infectious diseases by 2070 due to climate change. A new study published in the journal Nature said these new diseases have a greater risk of jumping from animals to humans because of the sheer number of them. A scientific model predicted that a warming world would drive isolated wild animals into more highly populated areas. That would mean more new diseases would come along with them. And it could lead to thousands of incidences of cross-species viral spread over the next 50 years among mammals. The study highlighted Asia and Africa as the worst areas for potential viral spread. Bats will likely be the biggest problem because of their unique ability to spread viruses to other species. Experts say not all of the new diseases will jump to humans or cause global pandemics, but climate-driven viral spread is likely already happening. The majority of these new infections could be circulating silently among wild mammals already.
So they're definitely trying to put that out there, the importance of combating climate change, because it more diseases, more things that are happening. So that's something that to be on the watch out when you start hearing people, maybe your family or your friends, and they start talking about like, hey, man, we got to watch out for climate change. Because if we could get in front of this stuff before it's in the psyche, like by the time it got to the whole COVID level, like, and trying to find out the facts, I think the best thing, and not that we are ahead of it at this point, because we don't know which direction things will go, but if we can be, have the useful tools of starting to look in and point out the flaws in their ideology and their plans, so they could actually see what's really in front of them, and that what's really important and how we can really change the environment. Like, if you want to change the environment, don't throw trash on the floor. What up, Seabass? Don't throw trash on the floor. Like, find ways maybe to clean the air. But like, just putting the burden on the working class, saying that we need to watch our carbon emissions and our methane emissions and everything that we're doing, but the elitists will still be doing whatever they want in the world. That is the picture that we have to paint for people and show them that they are trying to get into people's psyches and they're trying to manipulate them. They're trying to manipulate them into doing what they want, like that whole nudge theory where they push you into a direction they would like you to go in. So I'm going to stick with I'm going to pedal off of the climate change and go on to little Billy Boy, good old Bill Gates. I had posted something earlier in the week and talking about he wants like a germ team, like have them all go around. And, you know, anytime there's a pandemic, they'll have like 1,000 workers or whatever, and they'll be in charge, and they'll be ran by the WHO, who's also working on a previous episode that I have up on Apple and Spotify on Kill the Mockingbirds. I had a couple clips where they were talking about the pandemic treaty that they're trying to push right now, and they're trying to get a lot of countries to sign on. And this pandemic treaty would put the WHO in charge of everybody in the world, with like, no matter your constitutions, it would supersede anything that's, you know, previous to that because of the pandemic, like if they actually call into a pandemic. So you should check that out for sure. But I wanted to Bill Gates is a clip, I forgot what show this is on, but he was talking about basically what everybody's been talking about from the beginning, most of us, where we were talking about COVID had a low fatality rate. And he kind of pedals back and tries to make it seem like, you know, we did our best, we made some mistakes, but I'll let him tell it.
It wasn't until early February when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said, there's no way, you know, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that. So that was a pretty scary period,
right,
where the world didn't go on alert, including the United States, nearly as fast as it needed to.
So in one breath, he's saying that it was, you know, more for the elderly diseases, but, you know, and he's been, but that was the low fatality rate, that we didn't know about this. When a lot of people were bringing up these points, these are not points that, I mean, if I heard them, I'm sure that he had heard them as well. And they just, you know, refused to look at the numbers. But he did praise a lot of the other countries that did lockdowns. You know, he praised them for Australia and China on their lockdowns, even though that there's no proof. And actually, even like people like Tom Woods put up statistics of showing the masking and lockdowns, how they were actually detrimental more than, you know, helping people, that they hurt people way more. They still refuse to kind of look into that. So here's one more clip that I wanted to bring out with Bill Gates, because since he kind of like started all this with his TED talk and his eerie peek into the future of where he knew there would be a pandemic, which kind of is funny, similar to what's going on with the food stuff, you know, the whole crisis. I'm too bad I don't have the story on me, but you know, I think there was a big formula factory that I was reading about that burnt down. But these things seem planned, because how do you get it step by step, like that famous Rockefeller lockstep program? And you know, event 201, everybody was talking about event 201 that really went almost exactly how it was supposed to, with us, you know, the conspiracy people online and the spinning of news. But this, Gates predicts variants and restrictions coming, so he's kind of ramping up like it's coming back. So I thought it was important to be aware of what he's talking about.
There could be more variants come that would be immune escaping, because their shape of their spike protein would be a little different. And sadly, they could even have a higher fatality rate. You know, I rate the chance of that as, you know, maybe 5 to 10%. But, you know, if you tell people that risk isn't there, then the whole idea of, okay, you know, throw your masks away, don't get your boosters, you're going to put people incredibly at risk. For now, we need to keep boosting, particularly the elderly. And even though we'll have a lot of cases, we don't have to use masks. You know, the public should be ready and not view it as a deep infringement of, you know, their freedom, that when you get local outbreaks, which, you know, in the fall we'll have some of that, it helps a lot to to have very high vaccination levels and, in certain settings, mask wearing. Should we be willing to accept some restrictions on our liberty? Absolutely. But, you know, the U.S., that's not our greatest strength. That is making, in some cases, sacrifice for the collective. You know, the public should be ready and not view it as a deep infringement of, you know, their freedom, making, in some cases, sacrifice for the collective.
Yeah, that's crazy. He said, do you think we should sacrifice some of our freedoms? Absolutely. Like, so that can tell that right there at that part of the clip, that definitely tells you where he sits on the side of freedom and what we should do. And that's why we need him. Everybody should know it. Like, I know it doesn't work a lot because sometimes we tell people, and they don't realize how, you know, we say that Bill Gates is evil. And so we got to find different ways of I think we got to start trying to poke at that he's an idiot, like that he doesn't know what he's talking about. Because I know plenty of people have said that, but he's not a doctor. He's not anything that is relevant to the medical field. He's just a rich man. I never say that word, philanthropy or whatever the fuck it is. That word gets me a little stumble, but he's like that old Rockefeller way where he thinks he's going to fake give back to the poor and that's going to make him a better person and that he's justified in telling us what to do. That's the elites trying to bark up the wrong tree. Here's another scare tactic that I start seeing in the news. This was on ABC News, Good Morning America, anchor Dr. Jen Ashton again, and they're talking about the first case of the bird flu.
The CDC announcing the first human case of bird flu in the United States. What does that mean?
Well, we've been tracking this for a while because there is a huge H5N1 bird influenza outbreak worldwide. We've been talking about it here in the U.S. The CDC just out with what looks like the first U.S. human case. This is a worker at a commercial poultry farm in Colorado. This person had direct exposure to poultry and was involved in culling birds that were infected with H5N1. Person is isolating, doing well, has been given Tamiflu as an antiviral. It is possible, we should say, that the detection of this flu strain could have been the result of surface contamination. But given this person's exposure and symptoms, where the CDC is considering it a true case. And I want to emphasize, as per the CDC, they are considering the risk to the general population at this point to be, quote, low. And you cannot get this strain of bird flu from eating poultry.
And then see, they're talking about how, you know, they're jumping bird flu, jump from a bird to a human, right? Just as we're saying that climate change that they're saying in the news, that climate change will accelerate that and have more of this happening. So that's what their way of justifying it. So they're like, see, we try to warn you, like, so you can prepare for this. And then Gates was like, you know, prepare to wear a mask again, prepare to give up freedoms, prepare to lock down. What I say and advocate for all the time, if and when, because it will be when they try to do this again, we get even louder and we say, you will not lock us down, because we can't allow them to ever lock us down. And I know that's not something that everything we can control. We can only control our own aspect. But I think that if we can get a lot of these clips out there and show people the things that they're saying and the lies that we are able to uncover, that we could definitely put them, get a lot, convert more people, but pull more people to the middle, to where we're like, hey, man, this is not this red team, blue team stuff. This is really about the working class and how they're constantly going against the working class. And I have another, because I thought the reason I got this little clip from CBS with Burks is because I remember Burks was talking about she was stepping down and it was so hard for her under the Trump administration, blah, 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 blah. And then she kind of just vanished, right? And I figured, oh, she's just doing her thing and she must have retired. But now she sounds like she's back at it and she's talking about a summer surge in the South.
As you said, I'm aware of it because of my kids. We're now at close to a million deaths. Infection rates are going up. Hospitalizations are going up. I think it was just about 18% on the week. Do you think we are done with these massive waves of infection?
I like to look at the whole spectrum of the last 2 years. And so if you look at what we've been through, we went through a mini alpha variant surge in the same locations last year at this time. Then we went into that lull of May where everybody thought it was over, and middle of June, and then we had the predictable surge across the South. And what you need to be looking at is global data. So I follow South Africa very closely. They're good about testing. They're good about sequencing and finding their variants. They're on a upslope again. Each of these surges are about 4 to 6 months apart. That tells me that natural immunity wanes enough in the general population after 4 to 6 months that a significant surge is going to occur again. And this is what we have to be prepared for in this country. We should be preparing right now for a potential surge in the summer across the southern United States because we saw it in 2020 and we saw it in 2021.
Wow. That's not general consensus right now. That's a warning.
Bullshit. Sounds like they're just ramping it up, scaring people. So she's doing the same thing she did under the Trump administration, where she tried to scapegoat and say that it was Trump's fault. That's the reason why she was saying the things she was saying. But in actuality, that's just how she thinks. She, like many, these bureaucrats are just all bureaucratic and want to keep their jobs, or they're like have that elitist mindset. On a previous episode last week, I think it was, got it released on, because I wasn't doing a lot of IG lives, but on that one, I had a clip of Dr. Peter McCullough, and he was talking about these hepatitis outbreaks. There's a lot of hepatitis outbreaks here in children and in the United Kingdom. There's no pure evidence that that people can trace back to that it's actually from the any of the vaccines. But McCullough was talking about how the adenovirus, which was used to make the J&J and AstraZeneca vaccines, I believe, may be one of the culprits. And here's a little clip from ABC anchor Mona Koser, hepatitis outbreak context.
A mysterious hepatitis outbreak among children is spreading. At least 10 states are now reporting an increase in cases of severe hepatitis in children. One death has been confirmed in Wisconsin, and two kids in Minnesota needed liver transplants. Doctors are looking for a cause. They're investigating a type of adenovirus found in many of the children.
So, yeah, that's something that people should be looking out on. It's been not too much in the news. It's been a little bit. You got to dig a little bit to see about this. And I'm kind of looking a little bit more into it because it's very prevalent in the United Kingdom and in America, which is not a common thing for children to have a hepatitis outbreak. The thing that is kind of a little weird about it is that they're not really specifying what hepatitis outbreak it is. Like, is it hepatitis A, B, C, et cetera, et cetera. They're just kind of just like using a blanket hepatitis, and that there seems like they're not trying to give too much information about it, maybe because it is linked back to one of these vaccines. I'm not sure it is, but some of the evidence, definitely check out Dr. Peter McCullough. He has some good info on that. If you want to hear more about it, I would definitely look into that. That's something that people need to be aware of. And there's this I think this is my last little clip on COVID. Yeah, that really sus. Yep. COVID linked to reduced IQ manifested as brain fog. This is like where they were going a lot about the long COVID. They've been talking a lot that and the lasting effects it has on people.
A COVID infection could shave years off a person's biological age and may rob 10 points from IQ. Severe COVID infections result in various levels of cognitive impairment. University of Cambridge researchers measured the cost of COVID in years and intelligence and say the infection accelerates aging for the brain. The results are detectable more than 6 months after the acute illness and may result in lasting cognitive and mental health problems. Word recall is diminished, as is sleep quality, while anxiety is heightened, further hampering recovery.
That's what is kind of strange about that report. They're saying that, you know, it affects the brain, it ages you, like you're going to die faster. But wouldn't the vaccine, because it's developed to be like the virus, wouldn't that do the same thing to you? Like, wouldn't that mimic what COVID's doing? Or maybe I have it wrong on what the vaccines are, but that's what it seems to me. Like, if that's designed, wouldn't the vaccine then be designed to, kill you as well? But hey, that's just, I guess that's conspiratorial. I got a little bit about, let's switch up to go into some Russia-Ukraine stuff. They have the bank. The Western banks brace for a $10 billion hit over Russian exit. It says, let me get the little quote if I can find it real quick. This week, a string of European banks set aside billions of euros in provision ahead of the closure of the Russian operation. Following similar moves by U.S. lenders last month, Western banks collectively have 86 billion for exposure to Russia, with close to 40,000 staff and are setting aside more than 10 billion in expected of losses to their ventures, according to Financial Times calculations. I'll have this. I've started to do this as well for every episode I do. It's not for the first ones, obviously, but lately for probably the last 10, 15 episodes on Telegram, I have a list of, you know, all the clips. I have all the stories and all the show notes will be right there. But this is a good one to jump into, because they make it seem like the effects of the sanctions and what's going on in Ukraine is really not a big deal. But it seems that people are getting affected by it. Now, here's a little update by Mike McCall on Ukraine that I found interesting.
The concerns that these attacks on Russia could actually lead to a wider war, maybe even retaliation with nuclear weapons.
That's always a concern. The short range tactical nukes is always, we discussed that with NATO when I was there. You know, they brought the butcher of Syria in to fight this, the second phase of this war. He's a very frightening man. He dropped barrel busting bombs in Syria on civilians and chemical weapons with Assad in Syria to kill civilians. What would happen if a chemical weapon was dropped in Ukraine and or a short range tactical nuke? The question there is, would the world idly sit back and watch that happen without doing anything?
What would we? What should we do?
I just find it hard to believe. And when I talk to the Secretary General of NATO, their job is really to defend NATO, not trigger Article 5. But in my judgment, that's beyond the pale. That crosses a red line. And I think if that happens, we would have to respond in kind.
First off, he's peddling misinformation, because it's been proven numerous times that Assad did not gas his people in Syria. So that's, let's start off with that. Second, you could tell he's warmongering, trying to really push that without any evidence, with just speculation. He's saying that Russia may use a tactical nuke or use chemical weapons. That seems very problematic that he's using that wording to try to push for war, because obviously he's trying to get into the American psyche so that we can get into the war, so we cannot just give them weapons, but we could actually put boots on the ground. I think that's the intention, to spark off this World War III. So you're seeing a lot of that on Fox News, CNN, everyone, all these people that are really trying to ramp up the war, and the, you know, the military industrial complex is live and well in this country. And here's one little bit of Raytheon, CEO in Ukraine. Perfect segue into what's going on with them.
We are there to defend democracy. And the fact is, eventually, we will see some benefit in the business over time. Everything that's being shipped into Ukraine today, of course, is coming out of stockpiles, either at DOD or from our NATO allies. And that's all great news.
So, yeah, not only like are they're going to get paid, because Raytheon, you know, makes weapons, and they're pulling from the stockpile of old weapons. That's like he's kind of not really referring to that. Old weapons, old fighter planes. Like, I get it that they say the Ukrainians can't, you know, fly certain planes and this and that. I understand that. But at the same time, they're not getting anything new. And all that $33 billion is going into the pockets of Raytheon and Lockheed Martin and industrial imperialists like that. And he says it right there. We're over there fighting for democracy. That's a load of bullshit, because we were there in the beginning, causing the coup in the first place in 2014, that really was trying to flip them in the beginning and trying to get control of that, poking the bear of Russia. So to play victim now is just ignorant, if you ask me. Now, this clip was probably the best clip. It's a little bit of a boring clip, because if you guys know who Noam Chomsky is, Noam Chomsky talks real slow. He a little boring voice, and he was one of the leaders of the progressive parties. I think he backed Bernie a lot. And listen to what he says on what would be peace in Ukraine. Why? What would make peace in Ukraine? This is super interesting. He's, like I said, just to paint the picture, he's a linguistics major or professor. that has been left his whole life, all his books and all that, they're far left. To hear what he says is pretty comical.
Well, there is fortunately one statesman in the United States and Europe who has laid out a person of a high political figure who has made a very sensible statement about how you can solve the crisis, namely by facilitating negotiations instead of undermining them and moving towards establishing some kind of accommodation in Europe, maybe along the in which there are no military alliances, but just mutual accommodation. He didn't say it, but it's something like what George H.W. Bush, the first Bush, not the second, proposed in the early 90s in his, when after the collapse of the Soviet Union, proposed what they called a partnership for peace, which would be open for Europeans generally, Eurasians as well. It wouldn't eliminate NATO, but he would live up to the promise that NATO would not expand to the east, firm promise to Gorbachev, keep to that, allow NATO there, but kind of de-emphasize it so other countries could join, including Russia for that matter, join the partnership for peace. Tajikistan joined, for example, not NATO, and move towards a world, a Europe, Eurasia, with no military alliances. Actually, de Gaulle had similar vision. Emmanuel Macron, in his initiatives trying to contact Putin, suggested something similar. So going back to the one Western statesman, he didn't mention all of this, but he suggested something similar. Move towards negotiations and diplomacy instead of escalating the war. Try to see if you can bring about an accommodation, which would be roughly along these lines. His name is Donald J. Trump.
That's crazy. He was one of the biggest advocates against Donald Trump. And then he turns around and has an interview and says, oh, you know who would fix all this? Donald Trump. It's crazy. The same guy that was advocating that people that don't want to get vaccinated should be left out of society, that they shouldn't be allowed to be back in society. This guy is a piece of work. And it was just crazy to hear him say that. I know it was kind of hard to get through that part of the interview because he talks real slow and he takes forever to get to his point. But at the end, he said that the only person that would stop this, the Western politician, is Donald Trump. So there's got to be something there because, like I said, he's a lifelong leftist. He was a never Trumper. And all of a sudden, he loves Trump, and Trump is the only answer that could stop war. So that's something to really gauge and keep an eye on. And this is the last clip. This is not about Ukraine and Russia, but I thought to tie this in with a little bit what's going on over there. Taiwan gearing up for war.
Taiwanese soldiers fire artillery shells at a target representing advancing enemy forces. The democratically self-ruled island is conducting military exercises to prepare for a potential assault by Chinese forces. They follow repeated incursions by Chinese warplanes into the island's air defense zone. Taiwanese leader Tsai Ing-wen, seen here watching army reservists train last week, says the war in Ukraine proves Taiwan needs to be prepared to resist threats from China. In a sign of increasing tensions between the two countries, reservists have been mobilized for 14 days this year rather than the usual seven.
I think the training is very solid. We are now familiar with the nearby defensive terrain and also places we can use to fend off an attack. I think this 14-day reservist call-up is very useful.
China considers Taiwan a breakaway province and has previously threatened to seize the island by force. The leadership in Beijing has been angered by recent reports of Taiwan finalizing its latest deal to buy military equipment from the United States.
We firmly oppose the sale of arms by U.S. to Taiwan. We oppose any official exchanges between the U.S. and Taiwan. The Democratic Progressive Party authorities have repeatedly used the hard-earned money of Taiwan's taxpayers to buy U.S. arms in an attempt to seek independence by force, but they will not succeed.
In Taiwan's capital, Taipei, they've been demonstrating in support of Ukraine's resistance to the Russian invasion. And 4,000 boxes of medicine, food and blankets have been collected for Ukrainian refugees.
It just seems like the propagandist setting up for a staged World War III, you know, like to get China involved, to get everybody involved. That way it can be, you know... That's what I found. I found it interesting and tie it together how they're even like telling, you know, supporting Ukraine, and they want them to put boots on the ground in Ukraine because then they could put boots on the ground because then Russia will do something, which China will back Russia, and same thing, they want boots on the ground in Taiwan. It's a dangerous situation with everything that's going on there. I got a little article from Russia Times News. Germany warns of global famine. The situation is highly dramatic, the minister told the German tabloid in late Saturday interview, adding that according to the UN food program, more than 300 million people are already suffering from acute hunger, and the UN has to constantly revise this data upward. That's just another little thing that's going on with a little crisis, you know, crisis on crisis on crisis. Keep them guessing by us always being scared of something, right? That way we can fight over food. We can fight over race. We can fight over everything that keeps us against each other instead of like trying to figure out ways to unite the working class and to get these people out of power. I mean, I'm not going to say that I have the exact solution. I tell people direct all the time. Some of the good solutions, if you really want to go check it out, go check out Solution Watch. James Corbett, he's got some really good solutions to some of the problems we have in the world. They're not all great, but, you know, there's something that is definitely progress that we can move forward, you know, and hopefully those help. But I'm just trying to point out some of the, I know some of it's obvious, like, but, so we could kind of gauge where we're at. Here's progressive Democrats to progressive Democrat Raskin's fixing things, an NPR clip. And he's talking about how they need to change the party and the outlook of it because of, you know, they're not really getting a lot of public love anymore because of the stances that they've took.
With Republicans threatening to take over control of the U.S. House, two of its progressive Democrats are teaming up to develop new strategies to expand the progressive wing of their party. As NPR's Claudia Grisales reports, they say that work includes new efforts at coalition building.
House Democratic progressives Ro Khanna and Jamie Raskin tell NPR they're tired of the ideological purity politics that have overtaken the party's message. The two began meeting late last year and say progressive Democrats need to reclaim issues of patriotism, reject socialist labels, and stay out of the political correctness business.
And so we have a skepticism out there for a large part of the country that has fallen behind, that has lost jobs.
All of the political dogmas of the past are not serving particularly well.
Khanna and Raskin say Democrats should stop preaching and instead spend more time listening to voters.
Well, think about that, listening to voters. But I think they're just trying to clean up the progressive image and, you know, make people want to vote for them more. So they're kind of leaning, just like, you know, you got Joe Manchin on the Democrat side that, you know, kind of shows some Republicans, they feel like, oh, maybe they're not all bad, even though, like, you know, they're all warmongers and pieces of shit, in my opinion. These are all obscure little stories that I just kind of found interesting. I definitely wanted to put something about Nina Jankowicz, and I have a little clip of her. Her democracy isn't possible without authoritative sources of information. I put up this clip on my page as well, but before we do that, here's a little entrance for the Truth of Ministry. Or Ministry of Truth.
Intelligence work takes place within a strong legal framework. We operate under the rule of law and are accountable for it. In some countries, secret intelligence is used to control their people. In ours, it only exists to protect their freedoms. Protect their freedoms. protect their freedoms. Protect their freedoms.
Focused so much on, pushing back against Russian disinformation online, we've lost sight of the fact that our own government, and certainly President Trump himself, has dealt in disinformation and normalized disinformation over the past 4 years, to the extent that there is no disincentive for most politicians to traffic in it anymore. And this, again, as I mentioned at the beginning, should not be a partisan issue. Democracy isn't possible without authoritative sources of information.
Authoritative sources of information. I posted a different clip actually on my page. She was kind of talking about how, like, verified people, even though they're not all, you know, what it's cracked up to be, but verified people on these social media accounts should be the ones actually, so they could put context, they could leave context underneath the post. So if I was to say, like, hey, these vaccines might harm people, then one of those verified people, pretty much these verified people could fact check us, what they're already doing. But they could leave their context into what they believe is really going on. And they're telling the truth in their truth of what they say is really going on. But here's a little clip of Nina. Like, so Nina is obviously she's like a Broadway brat. She's one of these people that really is eager for the stage. She has a song, a cringeworthy song about disinformation. I posted it last week or a couple weeks ago. But this is a little segment of her. And I only got like about 18 seconds of this clip. If you want to go look, I think New York Times has it posted. You could just put Nina Jankovic and YouTube singing and you'll find it. But this is the best way I think to describe her. This is her singing karaoke. And this song is, I feel, what is behind her being the misinformation czar.
Why is she rich, famous, and powerful? While I'm still stuck here singing Christmas songs for all of you. What does it take to be famous and powerful? Santa, if you're listening, please tell me what to do. Who do I fuck to be famous?
The song, basically, it's like what does it take to be famous and powerful? And then I put that part where she says, who do I have to fuck to be, famous and powerful? And it just seems like that aspect of, like, she's just trying to be in the spotlight. She'll do whatever it takes to keep in that limelight. And those are the people we can't trust, like, because they'll do anything to stay there. I got a little Elon Musk story from the Gateway Pundit. The headline, he says, if I die under mysterious circumstances, it's been nice knowing you. Elon Musk post response after Russian threatened Starlink founder for assisting Ukraine. I saw some people picking up this story, but they were kind of just like focusing on just the tweet where he says, if something happens to me, if I mysteriously die under some circumstances. But to put more context to what was going on is on a Russian diplomat, I think they were going at him, and this is what they wrote on Twitter to him. He put, from the testimony of the captured commander of the 36th Marine Brigade of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, Colony Dmitry Komarevich, it turns out that the internet terminals of Elon Musk Starlink satellite company were delivered to the militants of the Nazi Azov Battalion and the Ukrainian Marines in Mariupol by Mariupol by military helicopters, according to our information. The delivery of the Starlink equipment was carried out by the Pentagon. Elon Musk thus is involved in supplying the fascist forces in Ukraine with military communication equipment. And for this, Elon, you will be held accountable like an adult, no matter how much you'll play the fool. And then Elon responded with, the word Nazi doesn't mean what he seems to think it does. And so I just wanted to point out that it's not like, when people are cheering for him as well. And I did a couple pieces on him a couple weeks ago as well, that, he's playing just the part as anybody else. Like, he dips in every now and then and says, like, yeah, I'm going against the grain. I believe in freedom of speech. People should say what they want. But then he believes in the vaccines. And then he goes back and forth. He flip flops. To me, they are grooming him to be the next Trump. They're grooming him to be in the psyche of the American people of what Trump was. How they first kind of introduced Trump into politics with the whole, you know, oh, Obama's not from here. And then that's where you kind of were introduced. And then people started getting that into their brain. And I feel like they're kind of doing the same thing with Elon Musk, and he's the new poster boy. And I could be wrong, but that's just the feeling that I get when I see him saying all this stuff in the news and trying to stay relevant. Let's see what else I got. I got only a couple more stories for you guys. Ah, here's a good one. This is also on Gateway Gateway Pundit. Like I said, all these show notes will be on Telegram, Kill the Mockingbirds. They'll be listed as episode 86, which will be called Germ Team 6. Then you could see all the videos. Just that way, you know, if you want to show people the clips or show people the articles, it you know, more than help. I mean, and remember, anybody, like a lot of people already do, send me clips, man. KillTheMockingbirds@gmail.com. Send me articles or, you know, on here on IG, whatever. Just send me stuff that you think is relevant. I'm going to try to keep doing more of the news the way that I try to do the news. I know it's a little different. But this one is the latest Star Trek spinoff suggests World War III started with January 6th. And it's not as easy to, because you're just going to hear it, because I can't show you the video. Definitely suggest you go on either, you know, the show notes or go to Gateway Pundit and look for this Star Trek little article, because they show like everything exploding, and they actually show footage of what happened on January 6th. So they're making it seem like January 6th is what started World War III, which is crazy. Like that one really got me through a loop, because I don't watch Star Trek and all that. Like, I haven't really watched any of that stuff, but I guess it's a new show. But
went wrong. It's a lot like your world today. Recently, I was treated to a glimpse of my future. It was not all I'd hoped. After all, what good is there in knowing your future? A friend of mine asked me that recently and didn't understand what he meant. Until now. I've seen my future. Let me show you yours. Our conflict also started with a fight for freedoms. We called it the Second Civil War, then the Eugenics War, and finally, just World War III. This was our last day. The day the Earth we knew ceased to exist. What began as an eruption in one nation ended in the eradication of 600,000 species of animals and plants and 30% of Earth's population. Global suicide. What we gave you is the means to exterminate yourselves.
So really, it's crazy. Like I said, when you actually see the clip, they have actual footage from January 6th. Like, I mean, think what you want about January 6th, but like, I feel like, you know, I know some conspiratorial people think like, you know, it's some kind of setup. Well, which may be, because I think that, in my opinion, I've always thought the whole Q PSYOP was to separate everybody and to cause ruckus. But people are allowed to demonstrate, right? Like, there right now we have people demonstrating at all these justices, Supreme Court justices' houses. And I think that that's what January 6th was to me. I think they blew it out of proportion. But for them to actually put it into the psyche, put it into this show of maybe someone that doesn't even follow the news really, but right, they could see a little clips. And like I said, it's actual footage from January 6th. It's not just like, oh, like speculation. If you look at it, you'll see that. And I'm going to end off on a little bit of also a little UFO-ish. Some sci-fi stuff. I got another article from Gateway Pundit. Man, they've been on fire lately. I liked Gateway Pundit. They had a lot of good stuff. But they're talking about world's first outer space hotel scheduled to open in 2025. There's a video in there. It says Orbital Assembly is now aiming to launch not one, but two space stations with tourist accommodation. Voyager Station, the renamed original design, is now scheduled to accommodate 400 people and to open in 2027, while new Comsat's Pioneer Station, housing 28 people, could be operational in just 3 years. I just threw that out there because, you know, I think next week they're going to have the UFO committee come together and kind of break some stuff down, and who knows what they're going to try to reveal and try to get into the human psyche and get us to think a different way. But definitely some stories to be watching out for. So, like, you know, check out the show notes on Kill the Mockingbird's Telegram. I'm going to try to do more shows. I don't think I'm going to have a specific date. I know some people want a specific date, but I don't really know, you know, with work and stuff. So I might stick to Wednesdays. So if Wednesdays holds out, then I'll try to stick to Wednesdays. I'll still be doing different interviews on Zoom and stuff. So check out all the other episodes on Apple and Spotify, Kill the Mockingbirds. And, you know, check out the music, Sean Chris, on Apple, Spotify, in every streaming platform. I got a single, They Want Your Freedom. I got my EP, Dystopian Paradise. And then I got our new single, Woke Summer. You know what I mean? Woke Summer with Van Tesla featuring on that. We're trying to blow that and make that into the summer, the jam of the summer. So appreciate y'all, everybody that tuned in. Like I said, I'm going to continue to try to do this a little bit more and more, and catch us on Apple, Spotify, and all that. We're going to end again with Woke Summer. Thanks again, guys. You know how we do it here. Wake the fuck up or get woke the fuck up. All right, we out.
I'm taping my dick and my balls to my leg. I'm taking these water balloons and I'm stuffing my bra. Just in my wig, bikini Chanel. I joined the women's beach volleyball league. I'm spiking the ball so hard the concussion. Some hitting the heads is only technique. 1 shot, 2 shot, 3 shot, 4 5 shot, 6 shot, 7 shot more. I love me some Kamala, she is phenomenal. Proving that anything's possible. From side chick to Montel, she must be a minor. The way that she worked all the shots to get to the top of the Capitol. Almost forgot about Brandon, still stuttering all of his speeches. Cue up the clap track, green screen some more people. Rachel Levine's back clapped, everybody worked up about Elon. Buying Twitter like he gon' save us. Left and right squabbling while he got chips for your heads, calling him courageous. No bueno, I answer to no one, start calling me NATO. Digital cheese on the way though. Get you a bowl of Alfredo. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. Coming in some stove, beyond meat looking juicy. Checking on your privilege, they them drop your booty. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Let's party in a mansion, let's call Patrice Colors. Virtue signal every damn flag but my own.
Swipe right, boost the badge for the COVID hoes on Tinder. Turn a nuclear summer into a COVID's winter. These are moments to remember as I'm puffing on my ember. Moderna and Pfizer, time to go on a bender. Don't assume my gender. Purple bang, just a blocker. Non-binary doctor, Betty Cocker. Fighting all meth monsters. Myocarditis playing soccer. Klaus Schwab snoring homeworm blockers. Kick rocks, slap ass at the Oscars. Yellow and blue emoji.
It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Before I hit the beach, BLM on my koozie. Coming in some stove, beyond meat looking juicy. Checking on your privilege, they them drop your booty. It's a woke summer, I need another booster. Let's party in a mansion, let's call Patrice Colors. Virtue signal every damn flag but my own.
Alexa and Siri, NPC sincerely. Ew. Yeah. What the elites and these kids have in common? What? They spoil rotten. Don't egg them on, it's a problem. Walk around the shelves when you carry that cotton. This life is 26.2. When you throw Medusa, who you point to? Newfound thinker, I'm an NFT. But the caveat is you can't purchase me. Smart contract, got contingencies. I'm silent with solidity. Oh, your VPN still collect data. Metaverse isn't in beta. From a trap house to a blockchain. Yeah, it's all the same thing. As to what with the whip and the gust with the chicken. It's all just a vision. Let's hide it with laundry. How many of us is in a quandary?
How many?
I'm just one. Let's glance at the stars. One-way ticket to Mars. Who's the subject for the cars? We gotta do it for cars. They a sneaky little fox. But I'm Jamie, give them bars. Sit up by the law. I keep it 300 in my thought. Of course, I'm boosted both ways. I'm riding my horse. High utterance, butter to the ones of remorse. I picked a degree and still have some worth. Knowledge free and I'm not the first to pay. Gas isn't bad and punks less are worse. I'm starting to see.
these words. How dare you?
Do not use gendered language to address everyone.